let's just start off with an overview of some of the findings.
Well, sure. That report is a blueprint for addressing the healthcare challenges of Texas. I'm proud of the work that the nine members of the committee did, and of course, the staff, my staff, that put it all together. It's 58 pages long and addresses things such as the effects of the Affordable Care Act, Child Protective Services, women's health, and CPS.
So the recommendations would include what?
Well, you know, one of the big issues is the effects of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, on the state of Texas. And, you know, right now, one of the biggest topics is Medicaid expansion and whether or not the state of Texas should participate in Medicaid expansion. I believe, and the report states, that Medicaid expansion in its current form is not the right path forward for the state. We certainly need to work on issues such as access, but also, just as importantly, affordability and accountability and sustainability. And right now, Medicaid is costly, it's broken, and it's unsustainable. And expanding it in its current form is not the right choice, not the right path for Texas.
So what can be done to ensure that proper health care is given, but do it in a more reliable and more cost-effective way?
Yeah, you're exactly right. We need a healthcare system that works for all Texans, and you know, the costs of Medicaid are it was 11% in 1987. It's 30% now, and it's pushing out education. It's pushing out border security. It's pushing out transportation and other vital priorities of the state of Texas. What we have illustrated in this report is that Texas needs to continue to work with our congressional partners and individuals such as Representative Flores to seek a block grant from Congress so that we can administer Medicaid as a state plan that's correct for the citizens that need those vital services, but at the same time, it's right for the taxpayers of Texas. Short of that, we can continue to try to solicit from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, our federal partners, in reference to a waiver program, not just the waiver program we currently have, but a more global payment waiver. The state of Rhode Island actually has one of these more global payment waivers that seems to be working for them up in Rhode Island in reference to controlling costs. At the same time, making sure those individuals that need services have those services, and in some respects, expanding services. Other areas, such as working with our large counties, the county indigent health programs that are in existence, and our FQHCs, as well as the state-run programs, such as our women's health program.
FQHC is what?
Our federally qualified health programs. Texas has over 70 federally qualified health programs in the state that provide a large amount of health care to those that are underinsured or uninsured.
Medicaid being one of seven items I see here as far as legislative recommendations, so I'll just kind of go down the list of the other ones, such as reviewing the Department of Family and Protective Services
right.
efforts to reduce child fatality.
That is a extremely important issue. Our CPS system, our Child Protective Services, is a vital agency, and the state of Texas has a fundamental responsibility to protect the children of Texas. And CPS, quite frankly, was in need of a thorough review, a realignment, and a transformation. And the Sunset Commission, of which I'm a member of, as well as our health committee, looked very closely at CPS and how we could improve CPS to make sure that our caseworkers, for instance, spend more time with those children and families, to make sure that we're reaching the goals of placement and either reunification with the families and or into foster homes, changing or streamlining the policies and procedures that CPS follows that make it a better place for those CPS caseworkers to work, to make sure that they're retained. And we have a very high turnover. It's a very stressful job. But also make sure it's obviously functioning well for those children that are in our CPS system.
Will that also include doing something on monitoring and improving the performance of the private providers?
Sure. You know, the private providers are an important part of the foster care system, and we're looking at the foster care redesign and whether or not we should continue with the foster care redesign. So it is one area that we've looked at. My major focus was the policies and the procedures that are keeping CPS from doing its core mission of protecting the children in Texas.
Another recommendation states monitoring the implementation of programs created to improve mental health and substance abuse services.
Right. Mental health is one of my top personal priorities. I was over in Bryan and spoke to the MHMR, the Brazos Valley, recently at the State of Mind banquet that they had. But mental health services are obviously vital to the individual with mental health disease, but they're also very important to the family and the community that person lives in. And a lot of people don't realize just how costly it is to our jails and to our ERs and to our schools. So I think money spent on mental health prevention, mental health treatment, is money well spent, and in the long run is cost effective. So we did really a significant amount of enhancement of mental health programs and mental health funding this last session. We need to see how those new programs are working, as well as make sure that we have the adequate amount of funding for mental health treatment in the state.
Also recommended, examining women's access to preventative health care.
Right. Well, women's preventative health care is something I think both sides of the aisle agree on, that it's cost-effective and obviously vital to those low-income women that need those services. We looked at there are a variety of programs and that are helping in reference to women's preventive health care, but how can we streamline those programs, possibly consolidate those programs to make them easier for those seeking those services to access those services and take away some of the bureaucratic entanglement that occurs on the provider side that keeps providers from fully participating in those programs.
Another recommendation is assessing the program structure of something called temporary assistance for needy families. If you can talk about what that is and what you all want to do in assessing it.
Right. Temporary assistance for needy families is a program that is it helps those families and individuals, children, survive. It's a social safety net. But the concern that some members of the committee have are that some children that are receiving TANF benefits are being cared for by individuals that are abusing drugs. And drug screening of those individuals, drug testing of those parents and or guardians or foster parents is one item that people think should be addressed. We don't want money going toward that's supposed to go toward the child being diverted and misused to buy drugs for that guardian or individual that's in charge of that child. And so there are some recommendations in the report in reference to how to go about doing that without adversely affecting that child that is receiving TANF benefits.
You have a couple of recommendations in here, too, that relate to some legislation that you have pre-filed, one of these dealing with the effort to reduce prescription drug abuse.
Right. There's a prescription drug monitoring program in the state that's currently under the Department of Public Safety. The recommendation is to move it over to the State Board of Pharmacy. I think it'd be better managed and better administered there. In addition, there's another segment of that there's a national program as well, and I think Texas should participate in the national prescription drug monitoring program. I think it would enhance Texas's ability to prevent misuse and abuse of prescription drugs.
You also have a legislation pre-filed about about CPRIT, the Cancer Prevention and Research Institute, and that's mm-hmm. also one of the interim committee's recommendations also.
Right. Yeah, CPRIT, the Cancer Prevention Institute, is something that was set up before I was in the legislature. It is a entity that helps fund treatment for cancer, research in cancer, prevention of cancer, to the tune of $300 million per year, $3 billion over 10 years. It's funded by by a bond that was passed and approved by the state of the citizens of the state of Texas. I have concerns that when that money runs out after 10 years or a little bit more than that, actually, how is CPRIT going to be sustained, and what is the core mission of CPRIT, and whether or not we should look at the original language, the enabling language of CPRIT, that spoke about self-sufficiency, that CPRIT should be self-sufficient after 10 years or be modified. And so I added to the report that CPRIT needs to be examined in light of its core mission and enabling language.
That 10-year, yeah, that 10-year expiration is coming up when?
Well, it's because of some of the internal problems of CPRIT, the misappropriation of some of that bond money that was, again, allocated by the citizens of Texas and passed by the legislature, I believe in 2005. It's been extended to about 2019, but it's a kind of a moving target depending upon how much of the $300 million they allocate per year.
And noting how quickly that the legislature doesn't move, that's really not a whole lot of time to get the necessary changes made.
That's true, but I certainly have brought attention to the need to address CPRIT and its self-sufficiency. I think it's an issue that's going to, I don't want to be hit 4 years from now saying, well, we need a bunch of money for CPRIT, when the original intention of CPRIT was that it should be self-sufficient.
And especially, we don't know economically what it's going to be like 4 years down the road.
You're right about that. With oil at, what, $68 today or $69, and the changes that have occurred over the last 4 months. You know, the Texas economy has been extremely strong over 10 years, but and that's partly because of the policies and procedures and leadership in our state, partly also because of the oil and gas renaissance that we've had in our state. We don't know where we're going to be in a couple of years. We certainly, I think, will have the right policies and the right leadership in reference to fiscal responsibility and limited government and protection of our personal freedoms and rights. But oil and gas is an international market, and it can tank, and it will adversely affect the state of Texas disproportionately relative to other states if it does.
And it's going to. I mean, it's been doing that for a couple hundred years.
It does. It goes up and down. You can ask Senator Ogden, who I spoke to on the phone yesterday, about it.
It's been a couple of days since I received the news release that the interim report has been released. Any early feedback from fellow lawmakers and department directors in Austin?
I think it's thought-provoking. I had a number of different TV interviews and radio interviews that I've done. Various members of the committee, of course, they all signed the report. The Democrats on the committee did write an addendum to the report with their concerns about certain aspects of it, but it is a positive that we were able to move in a unified fashion, in a bipartisan fashion, trying to put down a blueprint to address those health care challenges that Texas faces. And, you know, I think the goals of all the members of the committee are the same, and that's to build a healthier Texas, and to make sure that our healthcare system here in Texas works for all Texans and is one that, again, is right for the individual, right for the families, and accountable to taxpayers.
And I'm guessing your goal legislatively is to be able to use what you've called a blueprint to be able to guide this through the next session.
Yes, sir. That is the purpose of the interim report, to address the pressing issues of the state in reference to healthcare, the challenges that we face, and to provide some foresight and leadership going into the session.
What else have I missed that listeners around the district need to know about this?
Well, Bill, I don't think you missed anything. I think you were pretty thorough. I just want to thank the listeners and the people of the Brazos Valley for allowing me to serve them in the Texas Senate.
All right, very good. Please keep me in the loop as more things happen. I'm guessing it's going to slow down a little bit for the rest of the month. And
Well, we still have Sunset Commission to do. it'll be... I think we get a week off or so during Christmas, but I'm a pretty busy guy down here between the Sunset Commission, the Finance Committee, and the Health and Human Services Committee.